Well, another Friday has come and gone, and we have the employment numbers, and they were about as much of a head scratcher as you could possibly think of. We were looking for job gains of a couple hundred thousand, it was 300,000, but the market took it pretty well. And in fact, the unemployment rate went down from 3.9 to 3.8%. So why? Well, one good explanation may take us back to a conversation I think we first had about a year ago with Robert Kaplan, the former CEO of the Dallas Federal Reserve and vice chair of Goldman Sachs and co-chair of Draper Richards Kaplan Foundation, who joined us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Good to talk with you, David.
So one of the things you've been talking, we've been talking about this for a couple of 3 years, is the fact that the workforce, we need more people in the workforce, that everybody's getting old and they're quitting and retiring and we're not having many kids born. And suddenly, we're finally getting the immigration, I think, that you were talking about, that you were hoping for.
Yes. Listen, there are two bright spots that would be helpful. We're an aging society, so to your point, if we had workforce growth because of immigration, it means we could grow more, and it would not necessarily be inflationary, because it'd be, you know, supply demand of workers would improve. The other thing that would be helpful, which it seems to be happening, and we'll see if it's sustained, is productivity growth, a little higher than we've had. That also means you could grow faster, and maybe have a little less inflation. And so those two things are encouraging.
You, I look at your former colleagues on the Federal Reserve, and nobody evidently believes we have to hang together or we'll all hang separately, because they're all hanging, they're all separate. And it seems as though the dichotomy is widening out. And I think a lot of it comes back to this issue. We see Neel Kashkari saying, well, you know, I mean, we may not cut interest rates for the rest of the year. Then I heard one this morning, who was it? Oh, it was St. Louis Fed, said, oh, no, base case is still 3 rate cuts. That's pretty far apart.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing, because I think disagreement and debate is when the Fed is at its best. So I'm not discouraged by that. But here's why this is happening. Sir, you've heard me say on goods, not perfect, but we've got disinflation. China being weak adds to the disinflation on goods. But services, which is a big part of the economy, the inflation has been sticky. And by the way, lack of workers is key to service sector inflation being sticky. The Fed is seeing service sector just not improving. And so their fear is, could you have even a resurgence in inflation? And they don't want to be in a position where they start lowering rates and realize, oh, my Lord, I wish we hadn't done that. So that's the debate we're having. If I were there, I'd be keeping all my options open. I would have put 2 or 3 cuts in my dot plot, but I would have zero commitment to making those cuts. And for the June meeting, my mindset right now would be I'm open-minded, but I'm not going to say yes or no, and I won't until June. And the big thing you've also heard me say on these calls is government spending, and we just got the 6-month deficit number. We yawn at 7% plus deficits. I'm telling you, when you're at full employment, to be running a 7% deficit is unprecedented. The fiscal spigot is too wide open. And that's part of the issue, too.
Well, but we're 7 months away from the election. Nobody's going to do anything about entitlements or anything else until after that, right? So we're going to have to live with it.
We're going to have to live with it. But when you're running, last time we were at full employment, it's 2019. The deficit, even with the tax cuts that Trump did, was a little over 4% of GDP. We're now 7.75% of GDP. We are, and we've still got this unspent money from the American Rescue Act from a couple of years ago. That's why the economy, in my opinion, has been surprisingly resilient.
So let me go back to the inflation argument for a minute. And so if that pretty well negates, you know, concentrating on the employment numbers, because it's skewed. And actually, Wall Street Journal did an article about this last week, finally pointing out for everybody that these numbers probably have some holes in them. So what should you be watching until June, until the June meeting, to decide whether to cut interest rates or not?
I would be doing a deep dive with my team on whether this labor force growth we're seeing is likely to be sustainable, or is it a one-shot deal? And the truth is, I don't know that anybody knows the answer to that. Is immigration going to continue to contribute to workforce growth, or won't it? Number one. And unfortunately, the reason I'd be on my heels also, I'd be watching the deficit on the fiscal side and concentrating on where that's coming from and what it's doing to the economy. That would be my primary focus.
Go ahead.
Inflation Reduction Act spending, Infrastructure Act spending, unspent ARPA money.
All right, let me throw another curve in here. If immigration is a game changer, isn't artificial intelligence also a game changer? We've seen
yes.
a lot of use of robotics. We get better productivity, certainly. And this is the worst it's ever going to be. It's only going to get better.
I think it helps a lot. That's why I said the two upsides are labor force growth and productivity increases. And the only thing I would caution, if you run a restaurant, you can use technology to be more efficient, but the service sector isn't as able to use AI and technology to create more productivity. And that's why, again, I'd be zeroing in on the service sector. Goods are disinflating. Services may be sticky, and it's because of labor force costs.
When you were CEO of the Fed, I know you used to spend a lot of time talking to, you know, your constituents, the bankers, and getting a gauge. My guess is you still do. So
I do.
What are you hearing? Are they comfortable to make loans? Are they worried about a real estate crash that never seems to come? What are they doing?
Here's what I hear. First of all, deposit costs obviously have risen, and that's part of life now. They're making loans mainly because they don't have a choice. They've got to keep generating earnings. And so the issue is, who will they lend to? And the place they're being very careful is small business lending. And again, we've talked about, for a small business, their only source of financing often is their local bank. The banks are making loans for sure, but they're being very careful about which small business they're lending to. So I would think what you're seeing out there, while the economy looks great and big companies and big platform companies are doing great, if you're a small business very reliant on the banks, you might be finding a hard time getting a bank loan.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because Tuesday morning, the NFIB, the National Federation for Independent Business, came out with their Small Business Optimism Index, and it was an 11-year low.
It doesn't surprise me at all. And that, you know, people think real estate loan is the riskiest loan you can make. Well, you know, maybe. But if the property's been marked down and there's a revenue stream and you can set the loan to value, you can get your arms around it. It's very hard to assess some small businesses. You know, they're risky. Let's face it. The failure rate of small business in this country is relatively high. And so that doesn't surprise me. And banks are being very careful. They don't want the loan write-offs.
Yeah. Let me ask you about your admittedly adopted area down here and that you used to oversee. It looks like Austin strikes me as just an anomaly, a tremendous slowdown. I've seen horror stories about commercial real estate that's come open, and that housing prices have plummeted from the highs. Was that just a case of wretched excess and coming back to normalcy, or is our area finally beginning to cool off?
So the short answer is, I think we know people are migrating to Texas, and that story is not over. It's continuing. But what they do, and often when they migrate to Texas, especially from California, New York, the first place they look at is Austin. Okay. And then they look at the traffic and they look at the infrastructure. And they say, "Nah, let's take a look at Dallas now, or someplace else." So the state is doing well. I think Austin actually has. I think I'm optimistic about the future of Austin, but traffic infrastructure may scare people away a little bit.
And there's probably a lesson there for all of us too. Well, it'll be interesting as we count down to June, and we'll try to watch the things that you point out to us and see if we can reach a conclusion, because it certainly doesn't look like the Fed members, the voting members, have reached a conclusion yet.
No, and when you see this kind of disagreement, I think it reduces the probability of taking action. So I think people ought to be prepared. I don't know what I would do if I were there. I'd wait till game time, but they should be prepared the Fed will not act in June. That's a distinct possibility.
Rob Kaplan is the former Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas CEO and our guest today. It's always good to speak with you. Thank you for the time.
Good to talk with you, David.
Thanks. For more of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.